Blog Talk Radio.
This is world champion D.E. Chambers, president of the Amateur Organization of Karate and multi-Greek Award winner. I would like to welcome you to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown radio talk show featuring news, special announcements, special one-on-one interviews with stars of sport karate. Thank you for listening. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to Parts Unknown, the AMAA vision of supporting the Sport Karate Museum. So, you know, every week you allow us to come into your home on a Tuesday night. So we wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have a great producer. And he's on vacation, and God bless him. He's in Myrtle Beach, and I want to talk to him right now. Hunchy, you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, but I'm not in Myrtle Beach having a good time. I hope you and Gwen have a blast. I really do. Tell me a little bit about the magazine that you're doing, and let's talk about the store and the special and the rings. By the way, I had two people call me today, and they want to get their rings. So go ahead and tell us about the magazine a little bit, what you're doing.
We have developed a fantastic magazine. Not only is the magazine, have the special featured people that we have on the cover. Michael DeSquale Jr. is featured on the cover. We have a book that's going to be coming out in tribute to him. You know, it's all about legacy. I mean, from my perspective, you know, tomorrow I've turned the big 7-0. So for me, it's all about legacy. You know, it's all
happy birthday.
You know, well, I appreciate that, sir. You know, but that's what, you know, it's about. So that's what the magazine's about. It's called the Martial Arts Extraordinaire Magazine. And so we created a magazine that really covers the legacy, how to create your legacy. It has informative information in there about running your martial arts school, you know, how to become a published author. And it's just a great, you know, great magazine. It's won numerous awards, you know, for the magazine. And now we have actually turned the magazine into a marketing tool. So people that want to promote their martial arts school, we can now market and brand the magazine directly for their school. So we, you know, they don't, you know, just like Michael's on the cover. So we changed their cover, put their picture on it, put an article in there. And this is something that can be powerful in helping them for their back to school or any of those things. To be featured in a magazine is really a powerful tool. So we use the magazine to help our readers and martial arts school owners to be able to promote themselves by being featured on the cover. And we have, you know, your book is coming out, or you can go to our AMAA store. But, you know, we just ship you some books so people can buy, order books, you know, from you.
I got it.
And then you can, then you can sign those books. And they've got a piece of history, you know, signed by you. So that is truly a piece of history. And remember, everyone, you know, if you're going to order rings, you need to call me, let me know, because right now we're getting ready to do our final order. So we have a special buy now deal. If you buy now, I think they're $99 for the rings. And if you buy them at the event, I think they're $239 or $29 at the event. So this is a great opportunity to, you know, be, you know, you've got that ring, and it, every time someone sees it, they see the word sport karate on there, and that means you're a part of a great organization, great people.
That's
so,
over $100
you know,
savings. That's over $100
right.
in savings. That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so they're generally, you know, generally Archibald, 199, 197.
Yes, sir. You know, Archibald, the journey has been long, but it's been worth it because, like in October, you'll be there with your booth and everything. We're going to have an incredible group of people. I mean, Mr. Wallace, Mr. Norris, Mr. Steen, Mr. Pennington, Mr. Chapman, Mr. Stone, who's never been promoted in 65 years. He's allowed the museum to step up to honor him. And we're going to present him with 10, I'm not making this up, 10 10th-degree black belt diplomas from all around the world. So it's going to be very powerful, and I can't wait to see you in a couple months. And enjoy your vacation, and promise me you'll eat a lobster for me, please.
Oh, I will. And one other thing I do want to say is that, you know, we have a brand new website, the Elite Publications, and that's www.elitepublications.org. So we had a brand new website that launched today. Go there, check it out.
Cool.
If you're looking to become a published author, so remember, check it out, publish you.
Oh, one more thing. We got Michael on the line. Michael, you there, big guy?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Let's talk about the cookbook, Hockey Bowen, that it matters.
Well, yeah,
that
well.
Black Belt Cookbook. Talk about
First, let me say I'm excited to launch. Me and Hanchi Bowen is excited to launch it at your event, at Sports Karate Museum event. What a great project. What a great book. Tomorrow is the deadline for anyone to get registered and get your recipes in and become part of the book. So we do urge people here to do that here in the 11th hour. But even with that being said, they can get a piece of history by anyone can get a piece of history by pre-ordering their books from here all the way through. They can go to eliteblackbelttocook.com to get registered and or go ahead and pre-order their copies of the book. You know, we know that Thanksgiving is coming up. What a great gift to give at Thanksgiving. We know Christmas is coming up. So another great gift idea. So again, that is eliteblackbelttocook.com. Register here in the 11th hour and or order your copy or copies for someone.
Super, super. Hanchi Bowen, you want to say any last words about the cookbook?
Well, I'm having fun, you know. Now, I've actually partnered with family members. Actually, I partnered with my grandkids, so they've got a recipe they're going to have in there. And so I know black belt said, well, I don't cook. Well, hey, Hanchi, he doesn't cook, but my wife is phenomenal. So we've got, you know, so you don't have to be – and this is, again, a historical fun project. So, you know, you can partner with your kids. Like I'm partnered with my grandkids, you know, my daughter. I partnered with her. She's got a recipe in there. And so, you know, this is the first time a book like this has been produced. And, you know, we really anticipating this being a historical book that people are going to be talking about for a long period of time. Plus, if you've been thinking about writing a book, you think your project is too big, then this is a great way for you to sample your writing skills and get published in a book. And the book offers a revenue opportunity for you. But the key element is that you get a chance to become an author. So my goal is that this is going to be another international bestseller book. So everybody, let's jump on board.
I'm finishing up my Ford for the book tonight. And I'll get that to you probably tonight late or tomorrow morning early. So you'll have the Ford to be able to put in the front of the book. And Michael, I want to share this with you, big guy, because one, you're going to get COD Awards this year, and I'm so honored that I can showcase you, because you turned out to be one of the best COD competitors we've had in Texas in a long time. So I'm excited about the book. I'm excited about seeing you in a couple weeks. And Hanchi, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for everything. We really mean that from the heart. So you have a good night,
sir. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you,
Michael.
Love you.
You take care, buddy. Take care. Now, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen, you know, that was Michael Hornsby and, of course, my producer, the great Jesse Bowen. Now, you know, what's really cool is that a few years ago, I had a vision about putting people around from all across the country to talk about topics. Maybe some topics that we shouldn't talk about, but we need to talk about, and some topics that lay on the table. And I put together five incredible people, along with a couple, well, I call them my co-hosts, but I'm going to introduce them right now, my co-hosts, and then what we call the five. Well, first, I don't know, did Dean get on yet, AJ?
I don't believe so.
Okay, as soon as I introduce him,
I text
introduce
him.
You, I know, as soon as I introduce him and introduce you, get on the phone with him, find out where he's at. Then call Hanchi and find out how to put him on, okay? Please. Okay, first, as we were talking about the guy that's not on yet, Mr. Dean Pyle, time, NASCAR world champion, my student who I adopted from Mr. Joe Lewis. But you know what? He knocks people out for a living, and he's making movies now, so I know he's busy, but for whatever reason, AJ's going to call him and find out where he is. Now I'm going to introduce my buddy AJ. AJ is an amazing man. First of all, as you guys know me, I don't use the word master and grandmaster a lot, but I certainly use it when I say this man's name, because he is a master in the Korean style of Tangsudo, a master performer also. Amazing what he's done. It's a legend, and what I've seen him do on YouTube. But he is my also the military group that I put together, and he speaks, and he'll be at the Legends this year speaking about the love he has for the military, and also be at the radio booth to do autographs for anybody who wants to autograph for this guy. So I'm going to introduce you right now. My buddy from Ohio, the only martial artist that's ever been put into the Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame, my buddy A.J. Perry. A.J.
Thank you, Gary. That was a really nice introduction. I appreciate it. How are you?
The checks in the mail.
How you doing? Yo,
I'm mad from the heart, A.J. You're one of the best friends I've had in a long time. That's put up with me. So anyway, buddy, you got a couple minutes. Call Dean, find out where he's at. Call Hanchi, or make sure Hanchi has his number and get him on the air. Okay.
I got Dean's number. I'll call him.
All right, buddy. I love you. And stay. I gotta bring you back too.
I'll be here.
I got a question that I got for the five that I want your two cents on too. Okay. So I'll see you in a few minutes.
I might give you 3 and 4 cents, too.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I was talking about a little earlier that I had a vision a few years back. And part of that vision was to put together incredible people. And I've got to do that, not only on the radio show, but, for instance, what I'm doing in October. I've got a group of, and I say this, GOAT, greatest of all time personnel. They may not be the greatest all fighters, but some of them are, but they're the greatest of what they've done in their field. And just to name a few, Marchini, Steen, Stone, Norris, Wallace, Chapman, Pennington, Kerbin, Yates, McCallum, Dorsey, they're all going to be there. And one night, well, two nights, Friday and Saturday, October 6th and 7th. And for more information, you can call directly to the museum, 713-483-04. One of the sponsors that I'm going to bring on in the 15 minutes after I do a couple of five. They have a vision. It's called virtual reality, of course. They've created a hologram that will kick your butt. And I'll get to bring them on in a few minutes. But I'm going to bring on a couple of the five first. And the first one I want to bring on, she's an incredible lady. She's been with me from the beginning. She's an A3 black belt and Shoryu Karate Do. And she trains exclusively in Kung Fu now. She'll be at the Legends doing an incredible seminar on Tai Chi in beginning and advanced technique. She'll also have a booth where she'll show her skills. And that's a big surprise for a lot of the black folks going to show up. I'm so proud to have you, sir. In Hawaii, when we say Auntie, they're Ohana family. And she is definitely my auntie. I want to bring on Ms. Karen Slasher. Karen, you there?
I certainly am, sir.
I'm getting better at my introductions, aren't I?
You're making me blush.
Well, good. I like to make a pretty lady blush. How you doing tonight?
I'm blessed. I really am. I'm just sitting here feeling like I'm one of the luckiest people in the world.
Well, I feel the same way. You know, I got a deed for you, and I'm going to say it real slow since you're the first one to deal with it. But it's something that I feel that's important that we can discuss. You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Is the future in the hands of the 20-year-old and 30-year-old grandmasters who have invaded our industry? Whatever happened to that Tendor or the many years under your black belt, say a minimum of, say, 30 years or more before you could be comfortably called a grandmaster?
Right, right. So the question is, where will they be in 30 years?
Well, is the future in the hand, these guys? Will traditional karate prevail? I mean, how do you feel about it?
How I feel is, you know me. You know I would love to be able to say, oh, don't worry about it. They'll fizzle out. They'll be gone. They'll burn themselves out. But they're not going to. The martial arts have become a business, and it's a target for the entrepreneurs and for the 18-month black belts, places like that. There's always, from the time I can remember, past 30 years, there's always going to be these people. But the one thing I learned a long time ago was the spirit of the martial arts will protect it. It will protect its secrets. And there will always be traditional dojos. There will always be Mr. Miyagi's and Danielle-san, Daniels and Danielle's waiting. But this isn't for everybody. The martial arts was never meant for the masses, not the true, let's say, deeper martial arts, the advanced levels. They just aren't. 1 in 10,000 goes on to teach. So there will always be them. And the martial arts endures just like great music and great art and great theater and medicine. They continue no matter what happens. They pop right back up, and the martial arts is one of them. I believe it's protected by the universe. So, yes, there will always be them, but there will always be us, the old hardcore people in the background.
What a great answer.
Thank you.
I just knew you would hit it on the nose. God bless you, Karen.
Thank you. I can't wait
to see you in a couple weeks.
I know.
I can't wait to hear you off. You know,
okay.
We need to say thank you to all you ladies Saturday night. You know, the mothers, the grandmothers, the aunts, the daughters, the sisters, the black belts, the champions. We get to say thank you to all you ladies. And it's going to be so much fun. I promise you.
Well, it will. I can't wait.
You bet.
Thank you.
You bet. That was Karen Slatter, part of the five. Now I have another lady that's part of the five, and she's very special to me. I've known her since the early 70s, back in the day when she was, well, working hard to become the champion that she has become. She is one of these ladies that has a deep insight to what karate is because she lived the life. Let me tell you, I know you hear about it, but let me tell you, there was a time when women did fight men, seriously, in tournaments, and she was one of them. But she is a world champion, a Texas champion, which might be bigger than a world champion to me, but she's an amazing lady. And I'll bring her on right now, Lourdes Radulat. Lourdes, you there?
Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
There you go. There you go. A little latency there. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? How's everyone doing?
Well, I'm crazy, but I'm cool. So, Lourdes, the question is, or the topic is the future in the hands of the 20-year-old, 30-year-old grandmasters who've invaded our industry? Whatever happened to that Tendor and the many years of your black belt, a minimum, say, of 30 years before you could be comfortably called a grandmaster?
Well, of course, you know, I'm old school, you know, all of you that know me, I know that. And so how do I believe this is going to affect us, this new trend? I think it will just continue to keep phasing through, and we'll continue to see it for a long time. Is it going to change those of us that look at it totally differently, and our objective is that no, we're not going to let anyone just destroy that and just neglect and just oversee what we had to go through to get to where we are. And so we're not going to let that die. We're not going to let that go. That's the way I feel about it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, it bothers me just a little bit when a young 20-year-old man comes up to me and he has a red belt on, he's got 10 stripes on his belt, and he says and calls himself Grandmaster Smith or whoever. And I wonder, who made him a grandmaster? You know, who decided that this young man could do that? I'm still confused, but I understand that it's part of change, I guess, where, you know, people can buy fame and whatever. But, you know, like you, I'm an old fogey, and I guess everything goes with change, and I hope 20 years from now that the so-called grandmasters that are youngsters now and they're in control of our history or whatever, that there's some of them that really step up. And I hope there is. And I really do. But, you know, I'm glad your opinion. I love you. Are you doing good? Are you ready to come to Houston in a few weeks?
Yes, I sure am. I'm really looking forward to it.
I can't wait to say thank you to all the ladies, especially people like you, Saturday night, because you're a special lady. You are. So,
thank you so much. Thank you,
everyone.
You're
welcome.
Good evening. Good night.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. So you take care, and I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's Lourdes Radulat, my Texas champion on the five. Now, before I bring on my other 5. I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to talk about something that I've been dealing with for 20 years. But for the past 10 years, well, I guess it's been almost 10 years, I've been dealing with this new group. They're called SetBR.app. And what that is self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality application. Now, I deal with three people. Marie Shanahan, who's like a mentor to me, and Rick Shanahan, her amazing husband, and this next man. He is a real doctor. He works in a hospital. He saves lives. He's an amazing man. He's an A3 black belt. I mean, to Sport Culture Museum. And he's one of the co-inventors of SetVR.app. And I'm going to bring him on right now. Reggie, you there?
Yes, I am. Great show. Amazing. How are you,
Reggie,
today?
You know, I'm doing great, buddy. We're doing leaps and bounds before October. We're adding all the eye candy and the new History Generals and the new platform. But I'm going to explain a little bit exactly what SetVR is. And people get excited that you'll have your incredible booth there. You even have a suite up there for people who want to go up there to a suite to practice and get private lessons from the inventors. I love it. I love it. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Reginald Lee with SetVR. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. We see SetVR as a tool to help enhance your skills in self-defense, just as you would with a kicking bag, a speed bag, or a Wing Chun dummy. Imagine wanting to continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want, to be totally immersed in a cutting-edge program moving 360 degrees against an attacker that has been designed to kick your butt and will attack you when you least expect it with random and sudden attacks. So you can maintain, develop, or improve muscle memory, timing, speed, and coordination, and the goal of developing a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. This is the metaphor of placing your hand on a hot stove, developing that reflex response. Or imagine wanting to continue to practice in a program to improve your skills in evasion, using angular, linear, or circular, to help you to maximize the probability of neutralizing your attacker without hesitation to move reflexively. How cool is that? We are super excited about raising the bar with SetVR with our new developers. We are currently redesigning our program to be more interactive and captivating as you practice to improve your skills in self-defense, develop muscle memory, develop a reflex response against a random and sudden attack during an adrenaline surge to neutralize without hesitation. We present it to Professor Garley, our new website, and also to Professor Tom Spellman, our new website, to prepare us to showcase the unveiling of a program that I believe will actually make you fall off your chair. Just like Professor Garley has said in the past, the tsunami is coming. We can't wait to showcase and to unleash our pending program. We're currently waiting to be unleashed, our program SetVR XL Unleashed. With SetVR, you will not be outside looking into a program. With self-defense enhancement training and virtual reality, you'll be actually immersed in a simulation program. Just like the military and police has your simulation program, this is a simulation program for self-defense for martial arts, moving 360 degrees in a cutting-edge program, whereby a hologram will attack you when you least expect it. We've chosen a dark alleyway where bad things usually happen, whereby a hologram will enter your personal space to create an adrenaline effect. During this adrenaline surge, the fight or flight mode is where one would normally have a momentary pause, losing 35, 40, 50% of what they've been taught, and by using muscle memory will be your only best resource to neutralize your attack. This is a metaphor, as I mentioned before, place your hand on a hot stove. We at SetVR are super excited about our program. With SetVR program, with the Oculus Quest or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby this hologram will confront and attack you with sudden and unpredictable attacks. Your goal is to move angular, linear, and circular to place you in advantage of neutralization as you practice improved wrist skills and timing, speed, and accuracy, develop muscle memory, and the goal of developing a reflex response to a threat or stimulus. you neutralize without hesitation. This is a platform where you continue to practice what you've been taught in cards and forms and a program of application against a random and sudden attack to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercise, and we'll also present you with your own yoga instructor. Please come to visit us at our new website at SetVRXL at www.setvrxl.com at www.setvrxl.com. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Garley and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the Sports Karate Museum of Virtual Reality with SetVR, whereby we are introducing Professor Garley. Professor Garley as the Wisdom Warrior at the gate of the History Portal. But before meeting Professor Garley as the Wisdom Warrior, one must be able to neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the History Portal and then be brought back into the courtyard to meet the core history generals. With that being said, Professor Garley, some few words about your vision with us and Virtual Reality with SetVR.
Well, Dr. Lee, my vision is very simple. Three words. Elders, pioneers, respect, and knowledge. And with SetVR, you're allowing us to do that. Imagine once you beat the hologram, you get to learn the profile of amazing people. Chuck Norris, Dean LaBelle, Bob Wall, to name a few. But we're going to start with a core group. And we've already chose that core group. And they're the ones that are going to open up the portal in not any particular order. Judge Roy Kirvin, the man that brought the two-point kick rule to the world. Mr. George Minshew, who brought the Karate Olympics and the first man to give a gold ring in open competition. Chris Minshew, an NBA world champion. Mr. Mike Billard, the owner of Century Martial Arts Supply, the largest martial arts supply company in the world, the founder of the NKC tournament, and the former owner of Black Belt Magazine, who, by the way, this is a scoop. He sold Black Belt Magazine a couple weeks ago to my friend George Chung, the great kata competitor of the 80s. So look at Black Belt Magazine changing. Trust me. Going back to the pioneers and the history. George called me a couple of days ago and he promised me that. So I'm looking forward to that. But Dr. Lee, thank you. Thank you for being a part of the Sport Karate Museum and helping me teach the history so we can protect the history. One warrior. You have a good evening, okay, sir?
You too, sir. Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. Now, AJ, you there? AJ, did I lose you? Okay, well, before I bring on the rest of the five.
Hey, Gary, it's Adam AJ.
Okay, good, Adam. I'll bring you on just a minute, big guy. Before
okay,
I bring on with the rest of the five, I'm going to ask if Kier, did you get the easy call in yet, Kier? Okay, I guess he was busy, so I'm going to cover for him tonight. Kier and Leo Ramos are the producers of the U.S. Martial Arts Film Festival this October the 19th through the 22nd in Scottsdale, Arizona. I think it's Arizona, Scottsdale is. Yeah, Scottsdale, Arizona. And they'll be at the Legends at their booth at the vendor show. Plus, they're going to have a few of my friends together in Scottsdale. Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Rick Avery, Art Camacho, Billy Blanks, Eric Lee, world champion Danny Lopez, which, by the way, is receiving his eternal Joe Louis Award at my event. But we're going to have a celebration because we're honoring the 50th anniversary of the epic film of Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon, along with other showcase movies of Bruce's. But other, I think there's going to be like 50 films there from all the people I mentioned. And for every pass that is bought, a kind donation from the heart will be distributed toward the Sport Crime Museum. So remember that. So Arizona, October the 19th through the 22nd. You can find out more information by going to the official webpage of the museum, and you'll see it in the index. U.S. Film Festival, Martial Art Film Festival, in the index. And I'll tell you how, who, when, where, and how. How to get your tickets and to participate. And remember, every donation towards the Sport Crime Museum protects the history, one warrior at a time. And now we're going to continue with the five. Now I've got an incredible group that's left. And, yeah, you heard my friend Adam James scream at me, so I'm going to introduce him first before I do the other two. This man, Golly Bob, we worked together at Worldwide Mobile with the great Bob Wall. We became friends. He's experienced a couple of legends. I believe New Jersey, yeah. With New Jersey. And he also is an incredible. In fact, he's a new Doc Savage for the series. We'll talk about that. But also, he's a kung fu specialist. He trained with some amazing people. My last theory, I'm sorry. But anyway, I'll bring him on right now. Mr. Adam James. You there, Adam?
Hello, Gary. Aloha.
Aloha, buddy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing good, and I appreciate you so much, Adam. But the topic tonight, here we go.
Yes.
With all these 20 and 30-year-old grandmasters, how
yes.
they become grandmasters in betting our industry, what's going to happen 20 years from now? Are they going to be in charge of everything, or do you think that specialized traditional credit
will
prevail?
That question sounds a whole lot like the question that people were asking 20 years ago. I think for the last 40, 50 years, martial arts has kind of changed that way. There was a time when, you know, you'd only get your recognition from a very prestigious individual organization, and you'd carry that with pride. But now you have a lot of people who are getting ranks that are not coming from a prestigious organization or individual, but that's okay. I'm a big believer in the buyer beware, laissez-faire capitalism that we live in this country. There's no regulations. There's no government officials going to come to somebody's door and say, you can't call yourself a grandmaster. Rather, it's us. It's the community. We're the ones that are going to regulate this by embracing and endorsing those that are truly credible. So that would be my
yeah.
response to that question, is that, you know, we just kind of have to continue to try for excellence ourselves and demand it from our peers.
Well, good answer, Adam. Now, listen, I got to talk about Doc Savage. Where are you at now with that right now? What are you doing with that?
Oh, well, thank you so much for asking. I watched the rough cut of episode 3. So we have completed the 3 episodes. We're in post-production now. We're adding in the special effects, the sound effects, the musical score. We're going to be attending an event called American Film Market coming up in a month and a half, which is the world's largest independent filmmakers event. And we're planning to release it later this year or early 2024. So for all the listeners out there, if you're interested in martial arts, action movies, comic book heroes, come and check us out. You can visit our website, docsavage.com, but it's spelled with a K, so it's D-O-K, and then it's Savage with a U, so it's S-A-U-V-A-G-E.
Well, you know, Adam, I was wondering all these years when you were finally going to get an acting part because you're a good-looking man. I mean, and you got the ability. You're a people person. So I know you're going to carry this part a long way.
Well, thank you so much. As you may know, my background is in this. My uncle was a very successful Broadway producer. I did a New York Broadway show when I was a kid. And then I was in the movie Under Siege with Steven Seagal and Tommy Lee Jones. I played one of Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey's henchmen. And then it was kind of surreal for me to later work with Bob Wall because of the the animosity and the confrontations that happened between him and Stephen, but it's all good. That's all. It comes back to like that 20 and 30 year olds with their grandmaster titles. You know, we kind of have to regulate ourselves. And I think that's what Bob did in that situation. Bob and Gene both.
The great Bob Wall, rest in peace. But you know what? We did it, Adam. We did it. World Black Belt at the time was one of the most powerful organizations in the world, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob sponsored me and my son in open tournaments and sponsored my event. So God bless Bob Wall and World Black Belt. God bless him.
Well, thank you.
And God bless you.
Thank you, Gary. And he thinks as well of you. I remember many times he spoke about you and your son and how much he respected and appreciated you guys. So keep up the great work. Love being part of the Five. Wishing all the martial artists out there all the best. Thank you again for your support.
You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the amazing Adam James, part of the Amazing Five. Now, the last two gentlemen are really personally my heroes, and I got to decide which I'm going to do first. Well, I'm going to do this one first, and I love the fact that I get to introduce him. He's my hero. He's America's hero. He's a recipient of the amazing highest military award, or one of them, called the Silver Star. This man is a Sika. If you don't know what Sika is, the Southeastern Karate Association champion. He trained in Okinawa. He trained with some amazing people. And he is one of the military advisors of the military group that we honor every year. He's a personal advisor for the Sport Karate Museum. And I'm so proud to introduce him as my friend and my hero, Colonel Phil Torres. Colonel, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am, and the check just got bigger.
So, I hope so, sir. Well, you know what? I know that you and I, we spend a lot of time talking other than just on the show, and we both agree on some topics. So I'm really interested in how you feel about the topic tonight. You know, with all these 20-year-old and 30-year-old so-called grandmasters are invading our industry, 20 years from now, are they going to be the ones doing what we're doing right now? Or you think traditional karate will prevail? Tell me how you feel about that.
My opinion on the topic is that first and foremost, I agree with some of what both ladies said tonight, and that is we will survive as an art and as organizations within the art. In our open society, we have a lot of opportunities and people who will do anything for money, recognition, or fame. We can't stop that in our society. We can only ostracize from those that are legitimate. We can only police from within the different organizations. But there is no one, whether it's government body or non-governmental body, that can regulate that and police it up. And as long as there isn't any entity policing that kind of behavior, there are no consequences to their behavior other than being ostracized by some within the martial arts communities. But until there are consequences, debts to pay for doing that, it will continue because people will continue to seek fame, recognition, or money by any way that some people will do it by any way they can.
Yes, sir.
20 years from now, I think we're still going to be the foundation of the different styles, systems, the arts in general, we're going to be okay. And what we're doing today, preserving the history, that's going to really, really help. But we're not going to be able to regulate or police or ostracize those that are not within the community. They're in their own sphere of work. They create their own organizations. And as long as we have the society, we have an open society, we're not going to regulate that periphery. That will continue until such time as there are some consequences.
Yes, sir. You know, you hit on a subject that I talk a lot to a lot of people, that there is no governing body, per se, overall. Now, there's different groups, large organizations that have governing bodies, I know, but there's no really overall governing body since you can't do that. So that's why it's happening. And that's why it's happening.
Behavior can only change when there are consequences attached to the behavior. If there are no significant consequences, behavior will not change. That was part of my criminal justice research.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, God bless traditional custody, though. God bless you. And I can't wait to see you in a couple weeks. You know, you give me goosebumps whenever I'm around you. I love it. I love it.
And thank you, Professor. I can't wait to be there. And I know there are a lot of moving parts to the Living Legends event. And I know you're going to be, any one person will feel overwhelmed for such a large event with all those goats coming in. Just remember that you're not there alone.
You're a goat. Colonel Torres, you're a goat.
Just remember that you're not there alone. We are there with you to help you, to support you, to give you a boost. So,
well. Yes, sir.
Count on us to be able to surround you with help and hope and joy and love.
Well, God bless you, Colonel Torres. And we'll look forward to seeing you in a few weeks at the Legends. And welcome to be part of the Five. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I have a surprise for you, but I'll let you know Saturday night.
Super, super. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Colonel Bill Torres, part of the Five. Now, this next gentleman, Golly Bump, I'm excited about introducing him, too, because next year, along with the Colonel, we're going to be honoring him and what he's done for our community in the past few years. He is the president of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And you know what? It's interesting because, you know, I get bombarded, or I have been bombarded by every group, every Tom, Dick, or Harry who wants to, I guess, promote martial arts. But I only surround myself, I believe, by the prettiest colors and crayons in the box. And this man is definitely one of them. And his organization is one of them. In fact, he is one of the organizations that we advertise on our incredible webpage, and you can check it out. Go to www.fortkarateMuseumArchives.com, and you can see who I'm talking about and the organization I'm talking about. Now, I'm talking about United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame President, Dr. John Terry, the Black Belt leader. Dr. Terry, you there?
Yes, sir, I am here. Been a great show tonight so far.
What an incredible show. Now, the question is deep, or the topic is deep, and we're going to hit you with it. You ready?
I am ready, sir.
With all these 20 and 30-year-old grandmasters invading our industry through whatever endeavors. Where are martial arts going to be 20 years from now? Are they going to be in charge? Or you think traditional karate will prevail? How do you feel about it?
You know, Professor Lee, I've appreciated everybody's comments on the fight tonight. I thought everybody has had something very valuable to share, and I think we're really all on the same page. You know, as I was giving some thought to the question that you posed, my thoughts went to a book written by Dr. Mark Sanborn, and he says, you don't need a title to be a leader. Conversation that we're having tonight, you don't need a title to be a leader. But just because you have a title, that doesn't make you a leader. And we've got a number of individuals that call themselves grandmasters that, in my opinion, haven't earned the right to be called a grandmaster. But until this generation of masters and grandmasters that have put in the time, that have honored the traditions of the martial arts, until they speak up and they educate the public on a difference between a wannabe grandmaster that's trying to feed his or her ego and someone who has invested the time and the energy and the commitment to train for decades to get to the point that they can legitimately be called a grandmaster, I think what we're allowing is other people to define what a grandmaster is. And the role of a leader is to define reality. And I think we as leaders in the martial arts industry, we've got to stand up and say, these are what the standards are to be recognized as a legitimate grandmaster. And if you don't meet those qualifications, you may have had years of training, but you're not there yet. You know, I think to our own association, the International Martial Arts Council of America, we have a great group of grandmasters that I think back to our last event we just did in Houston there in your hometown. And we had 492 combined years of experience sitting on the Grandmasters Council. Individual presents themselves to our council for promotion. We not only look at their lineage and their history and their time and their grade, there are minimum age requirements to be considered for advanced ranks of martial arts. And I think that's important that we continue to educate the public. But at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. I remember in 2009 at our Hall of Fame event, we had a 23-year-old kid show up with an entourage holding himself out as a 10th degree black belt. And he had this little following of guys and gals that just, you know, worshiped at his feet and thought he was God. And when we watched him on the floor, we had kids that were yellow and orange belts that could outperform this so-called grandmaster. And after a period of just a few hours in our camp, it was very evident to everyone in the room, including the kids that were in our camp, that this guy was not legit. And as his following began to watch and see what real martial arts looked like, by the end of that camp, they had a very different opinion of their so-called grandmaster than they did when they showed up. And I think it's important for us to be able to stand up, speak out and say, this is what a true grandmaster is. And if they hold themselves out as that, let the proof be in the pudding. And if they haven't, if they're not able to perform at the level, they don't have the experience, they don't have the age, and they don't have the requirements, we respect what they've done, but we let them know they're not there yet. That's my personal opinion for what it's worth.
Well, you're the black belt leader, and we appreciate your opinion. Now,
well, thank you, sir.
You're doing a Golly, Bob, you're doing like a triple whammy for me. You're doing a seminar. You're going to be speaking on behalf of the women Saturday night. You're going to be there doing a booth for the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Are you excited about being around all those incredible people that we mentioned earlier? Isn't that going to be cool?
You know, I thought about the people that are coming to this event and what a privilege it's going to be in the room with these living legends of the martial arts. I look forward to two events a year. I look forward to the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, the event that we put on every year in July, and I look forward to your event in October where we have an opportunity just to be in the midst of greatness and just really have the opportunity to say thank you to these amazing men and women that have really pioneered the way for us to follow. And I'm just
looking
forward to just doing the part. Yes, sir.
Well, you're my new hero, John Terry. God bless you, buddy. And make sure you give a big old hug and kiss to your lovely daughter, Jessie. Okay?
I will. Absolutely. I spoke to her today, and she said to tell you hello, and she loves you, and she hopes you're doing well.
You bet. And pet your dogs for me, because you got a bunch of
dogs. I will.
Dogs
absolutely. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, God bless everybody that listens to our show weekly. And the Five is an amazing group of individuals. And I'll mention their names again. Karen Slatcher, Mortis Radulat, Colonel Phil Torres, Adam James, and the amazing Dr. John Terry. And, of course, our producer, Auntie Jesse Bowen, who without him, we wouldn't be on the air. Now, the A.J. Perry, did you get back on the line? I lost A.J. Well, we'll see A.J. next week. And I wanted to get his opinion. But, you know, the last few minutes I'll share with you. I believe that martial arts. Hey, there you are. Is that Dean?
Yeah, I've been here, but I've been on mute, and I just unmuted me.
Okay, well, good. We got a few minutes. I want your opinion. Here we go, buddy. With the 20-year-old and the 30-year-old grandmasters invading our industry, 20 years from now, are they going to be the ones in charge, or is traditional karate going to prevail, you think?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that right now, and I'm going through something where I stood in the breach, and you know, well, I know this is a whole nother show, but I'm taking the bullet for somebody's legacy, because people just want to ransack it to make money, and right now everything is just such a ego maniac. This is my certificate. I don't know how many Facebook posts I've read in the last week. This is my rank. This is my rank. This is my certificate. This is my promotion. You know, I'd said a long time ago when I was competing earlier, this is way early when Joe Lewis was still alive, and I was on a TV show called The Sports Corner there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, that come on Channel 12, WXII, which that was the station that everybody watched. And I said on that show, I'd won some of the world titles, and I said on that show that I didn't care what anybody's paperwork said, that it only mattered to me what their skill sets were. And, you know, I've said that to you 1,000 times. You know, a lot of people have paperwork but can't back it up. And, you know, it's like Mr. Terry was saying, you know, it's, you know, just because you have the paperwork doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of people's paperwork. I mean, look at the people in Maui. Look at the stuff that was lost out there. There's a lot of people's stuff that may get lost, may get burned up, may get, you know, may be banned or for this, that, or the other or whatever, but you have people that know their background, such as you or legitimate people. So I don't really, you know, I don't really look at anybody's rank, and right now there's so many people, that's all everybody's concerned about is rank, that I hope that, you know, things turn around and people put their foot down. But to be honest with you, until people that have done nothing and accomplished nothing and are just going by their rank stop getting recognition from the masses and from events, then that's sadly going to be a thing that continues to move forward, because that's what they're after, is just accolades. That's why they inflate their rank, because they don't want to have to do their work. I'm going to say this because I want people that are in the Joe Lewis organization to hear me out when I say this, because like you say, Professor, I am the Wolverine, and I am in a very pissed off state with all the Joe Lewis people right now, because I feel like they're degrading his name for money, and I don't care who they are or what they're about. Joe Lewis would not be happy with the way things is going, and I don't care whether the legends some of these legends and icons want to stand up and want to be mad at me, that's fine. They can be as pissed off as they want. But the bottom line is, if you don't have the skill set, you don't need to be opening your mouth about it. And my rank under Joe Louis that is sacred to me. Even if I was a first-degree black belt under Joe, which I'm not, and you know that, but even if I was, because rank's not important, and that's what I'm trying to tell these guys, even if I was, I don't need a rubber stamp of Joe's name on a certificate saying I'm whatever other rank given to me by people that are not Joe Louis, because that means nothing. Just like my rank with you, if you were to not be able to rank me up again, then my rank that I have with you right now, I don't need a rubber stamp of Gary Lee's name on a certificate, because I got the original Gary Lee's name on my certificate. And I have the skill set to up what that paperwork says. And I'm not trying to throw an ego. I'm just saying everybody that's a martial artist and claims to be grandmasters or masters or anything over black belt, they can train on their own. They don't have to have somebody hold their hand. They can do their own training. They can get out there. They can do their physical training. They can overcome a lot of obstacles just by getting off their lazy behind. But they don't want to. They want to sit on their butt, on their uka is what it's called in Cherokee, and they want to sit there and just be able to claim a lot of stuff and reap a lot of stuff without having to do the work. I'm in my gym right now. I've had meetings since 5 a.m. this morning, trained the military, meetings after that. I was in a meeting at the first part of this show with other people doing stuff, but everybody in my gym left an hour ago, but I'm still here training and working out because I did not get time to do that today. So instead of going home and watching TV and going, well, I got to get home to my show, it's already late, let me go home, I choose to go ahead and put that work in and do the work right now. And that's what people need to be worried about. Do the work. Don't worry about the paperwork. Don't worry about the rank. And until the people that are there now, the legends, the people that are in the know, start telling these young guys, hey, man, we don't care if your paperwork says you're a 10th Dan. If we don't see 10th Dan skills, you could be a yellow belt for all we care. And remember, Joe Louis used to be the world's worst, and I've been standing beside of Joe 1,000 times when somebody would come up and say something to Joe, and Joe would say, oh, yeah, what's your rank? And they'd say, oh, I'm a 5th-degree black belt. And Joe would look at me, and he'd smack me on the shoulder with them two knuckles, and he'd say, he looked like a yellow belt to me. Make a fist. And then he'd tell them to their face. He'd look like me and be like, they ain't no black belt. You're a yellow belt. You messing with us. Uh-huh. You know? But he didn't mind saying that, which that made a lot of people mad. But the thing of it is the truth's the truth. And, you know, I say what I say and mean what I say and say what needs to be said, whether it makes me loved or hated. But I just say what has to be said. And people can take it or leave it because, listen, lions don't look back when a dog barks. That's all I'm saying, and I'm not worried about.
I'm so glad you got on this show because I was hollering for you, and I guess AJ didn't get back on, but God bless. I'll see you next week, big guy, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless everyone. Colonel, I'm sending you a salute at full attention. I love each and every one of you, and I'll see you next time.
You bet.
I shall return the salute, sir.
Okay, good. I won't have to stand here in my office all night holding it. So thank you. Thank you, sir. You can't, Chris, you can't let your salute go before the upper.
Find out what happened, AJ, if you got muted or whatever, but I'll see you guys next week, okay?
Yes, sir.
Dean.
Okay, fine.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Denada, hey.
I love the five. I love doing the show every month where we feature the five. And we lost AJ, but he'll be back next week. But ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Jesse Bowen, all my sponsors, the U.S. Film Festival, Set VR, and the Amazing Bible Cookbook, and again, the Amazing Five, Karen Slasher, Walter Radulat, Colonel Phil Torres, Adam James, and Dr. John Terry, and your host, Professor Gary Lee. We say it every week, and we mean it from the heart. Much mahalo, aloha, and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Aloha.
Good night, sir.
Aloha.
Great show.